This morning's title is Short, Simple Prayer, or Prayers, Living a Life of Prayer. And it comes out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, which says, pray continually. There you go. That's the reading of the words. All right, but since you're standing, I'll read from the longer translation. From the NRSV, pray without ceasing. Three words. There you go. May God bless the reading of his words. You may be seated. How many people find prayer to be really easy? Would say, hey, I rock at prayer. Buddy? Okay, all right, I like it. Me neither. Probably all of us, or most of us, wish our prayer lives were deeper, more consistent, and or more lively. We are often unsure of where to even start when it comes to prayer. We're sometimes paralyzed or filled with guilt due to our notions of how we think we ought to pray. What I've discovered through 20 years of pastoring is that, you know, not many people, for various reasons, can pray for hours or sometimes even minutes in complete solitude. But the more we see prayer as a lively, real, creative relationship with a real person, which can take on many forms and modes of communication, then the more likely we are to pursue that relationship, right? So, you know, if the only way to connect deeply with and really know my spouse was to sit down in a private place with absolutely no distractions and have quiet conversation together, well, then A, as those of you with kids know, we would never actually deepen our relationship, because that scenario is just completely unrealistic in our current life. And then B, eventually we would grow bored of that one mode of conversation and connection, right? And fortunately, my relationship with my spouse and knowledge of her matures through many different means, such as, you know, bantering back and forth. There's silly and playful interactions. There's quick texts or one-minute phone calls, writing letters, doing different things together in varied environments, parenting together, pastoring together, or simply just being in a room together and just enjoying the fact that she's also in the room, even if there's no conversation taking place. And although all human comparisons fall short or break down eventually, we can still ask, why can't it be similar with what the scriptures call our heavenly spouse, Jesus? In the same way that my marriage would grow stale and monotonous if all we did was have quiet, uninterrupted time together, as much as I crave that now in my life, many people are understandably bored with their prayer life. But our prayer life is not meant to be dull or static. Prayer is about a vibrant, creative, dynamic relationship with multiple modes of communication that can regularly deepen that relationship. So this morning I want to talk about one way to keep our prayer life alive and vibrant, and that is through short and simple prayers. And I'll focus particularly on one prayer called the Jesus Prayer as an example of how we can do this. And what I want to communicate is that prayer is not about having a prayer life. Rather, it is about, as my title communicates, living a life of prayer, or as described in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, to pray continually. As Orthodox theologian Callistos Ware says, not to be a person who says prayers from time to time, but to be a person who is prayer all the time. So what does it mean to be prayer and not just say prayers? Well, I hope to give you a taste of that and some insight this morning as a way to energize our week of prayer. Prayer is not a 10 or 30 minute part of our day. Prayer is a lifestyle that is continually aware of our heart's constant need for God. But how can we pray without ceasing? This verse obviously does not mean praying 24/7, for that would be impossible. So what does it mean? Well, thankfully, this verse has a very rich and somewhat entertaining history within the Christian tradition, and so I want to tell some of that story to you today. For many early Christians, such as the 4th and 5th century desert monastics, as we call them, their life goal actually was to master this one verse of 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and to learn to pray without ceasing. They desired to develop a constant, conscious awareness of God's presence that caused their spirit to consistently and to humbly yield to the will of God. And the primary way they learned to do this was by repeating a short prayer or prayers continually throughout the day as a way to maintain this unceasing awareness of God's presence, that God was with them. And these are often referred to as, if you want to use some fancy words, monologistic or monological prayers, to just refer to their shortness. John Climacus, the influential 7th century Greek monastic and abbot of the monastery on Mount Sinai, advises that talkative prayer, what in the original he calls polylogia, distracts and deludes the mind, whereas brevity or monologia of short prayers enhances our concentration on the divine. And the goal of this type of prayer, says Climacus, is unceasing prayer in your soul. So perhaps the most famous or short monological prayer of all time is what is referred to as the Jesus Prayer. And this prayer, based on Luke chapter 18, verse 13, is normally recited as, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Or the shorter form, Lord Jesus, have mercy. The prayer, also called the prayer of the heart or the prayer of Jesus, has developed from an obscure prayer used for over a millennium by Eastern Orthodox monks to one of the most popular prayers of the last century. And although the long history of the prayer is a fascinating study, the defining and pivotal moment in the development of the Jesus Prayer came in the 19th century with this book, The Way of the Pilgrim. And the author, an anonymous Russian peasant, tells his story of learning through the Jesus Prayer to follow the words of 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray without ceasing. And then when the book was translated into German in 1925, it took off in popularity in the West and has led to the exponential use of the prayer by lay people, both in the East and West, over the last century. And even a cursory reading of The Way of the Pilgrim quickly reveals the prayer's fundamental purpose, which is simply to pray continually. And the simplicity yet depth of the prayer is perhaps one of the reasons for its increased use and popularity. As the peasant in The Way of the Pilgrim says, the prayer holds in itself the whole gospel truth and is a summary of the gospels and their teaching on sin, mercy, the incarnation, the ascension, and the Trinity, to name just a few. The goal of the prayer is unceasing prayer to Jesus, resulting in uninterrupted communion with him. And in addition to this constant communion with Jesus, the prayer becomes sort of this portable form of intercession where we can be applying the name of Jesus and cries for mercy over every human being that we meet, over everything we do, over the whole creation as we live our lives. Therefore, the beauty of the prayer is not so much in itself, but what it leads to. The highest level, if you will, of the Jesus prayer is often referred to as self-acting continuous prayer, or what's called the prayer of the heart, which is achieved when the Jesus prayer begins to almost repeat itself naturally without conscious effort. And so this experience is described in the Way of the Pilgrim when he says, early one morning, the prayer woke me up, as it were. It was as though my lips and my tongue pronounced the words entirely of themselves without any urging from me. And when reaching this grace, the prayer almost begins to stir up within us on its own volition, like a dearly loved melody in our hearts. And it becomes, as Ware says, no longer something that we think or say, but something that we are. Not a person who says prayers from time to time, but a person who is prayer all the time. And this experience of what is called self-acting prayer, it's of course quite a mystery that we're talking about. And if curious, I suggest people begin by reading The Way of the Pilgrim and the author's experience described there. And there is a copy in our library. It's also quite available online for purchase, probably even for free, being such an old work. But a helpful way to think of it is, I think, similar to this dearly loved melody in our heart that I mentioned. You know, when a song gets stuck in our head, think about how that works. We are often, you know, singing it or humming it throughout the day, right? Somewhat unconsciously, without even thinking or noticing, a lot of times without even wanting to, right? You can think of those lists of songs. You're like, I wish I could get this song out of my head. Yes, Baby Shark, yes. But it's playing in the background of our mind and maybe even on our lips as we go about all the other activities of our day. We may be focusing on other tasks, even deep thinking or meaningful ones that require all of our faculties while that song stays stuck playing in our heads. And this is what it means to be prayer throughout the day. It never ceases to continuously repeat and play in our hearts and in our minds as we live our lives. So how can we incorporate this practice of these short, simple prayers into our life so that we can live lives of prayer rather than just have a prayer life? Well, let me close with some application on how we can give this practice a try. There are other types of short prayers we can use. The Jesus prayer is the most kind of famous, but here's a list of 10 others. These are in your prayer guide, and if you didn't get one, we have some in the back, or find a host before the service is over. These are ones I've used over the years, so I just listed ones that I use. There are more. Some are intercessory. Some are more about just giving ourselves over wholly to God. And again, these are listed in your prayer guide, so you don't have to write them down. But there's a couple ways to incorporate this practice of short, unceasing prayer into your life in a way that leads to this maybe almost self-acting prayer where it starts up on its own, if you will. The traditional way, at least when it comes to the Jesus prayer, is to, in fact, try to say the prayer as much as possible in a day. So maybe you start small by spending 10 minutes or so just slowly reciting the prayer. becoming attentive to God's constant presence. You might actually find it very helpful to align your breathing with the words of the prayer. I actually do this often throughout the day, partly because I'm a fairly high-strung individual, but Lord Jesus Christ, breathe in, have mercy on me, breathe out. Did I get it? Yeah, Lord Jesus Christ, sorry, Son of God, breathe out, have mercy on me, breathe in, a sinner. And then you just repeat that. And it's not about the breathing, but it's about helping you to focus on the words and get into a bit of a rhythm for it. And then on future days, I use that a lot trying to fall asleep too. It really helps me. On future days, then you try repeating the prayer throughout your entire day, from the moment you wake up until you fall asleep. So in the Way of the Pilgrim, the peasant is told by a staretz, that was kind of the Russian teacher, to cite the prayer exactly 3,000 times a day, then 6,000, and finally 12,000. So that might be quite unrealistic in our busy and distracted lives, and I realize we're not all monks here. I don't think any of us are that I'm aware of. But perhaps try 30, 60, 120. Or 300, 600, 1,200. But remember, the goal is never achieving higher repetition. The goal is the gift of the constant awareness of God's presence through unceasing prayer. Or just pick one of these short prayers and keep it on your lips throughout the day. For example, in each and every task you do in a day, quietly recite the prayer, "My God, I am all yours." Do it before you brush your teeth, wash the dishes, take your kids to school, answer an email, pick up the next 2x4, enter a number on a spreadsheet, change a diaper, prepare dinner, shop for groceries, put gas in your car, Lord willing, hopefully not, but shovel snow, make a phone call, or read your kids a story. Allow your heart to become attuned to how even the smallest daily tasks can rise up as beautiful acts of worship before God. Or take the words, "As you know, as you will, have mercy," which has a bit of a rhythmic component to it. Use it as a reminder that God knows all, sees all, understands all, and as a way to completely trust in God's mercy. Every time you encounter a thought, face a new situation, enter a new place, look at your calendar, or think of your to-do list, in every situation, repeat this prayer as a way to constantly entrust yourself into the loving hands of God. Or just shorten your prayers for a day or more this week. Instead of saying, "Please God, help me with," and then this whole big long thing, explaining the situation to God as if God doesn't know, in faith simply pray, "Lord, help." And it'll really test your faith, as you might feel those words can't possibly be enough for God. But when said in faith and said regularly throughout the day, continue to exercise trust by repeating that phrase or these phrases throughout the day. Every time something or someone comes to mind, or any time you're tempted to worry or to be anxious. So the goal is to put some of this into practice this week as we enter this important week in the life of the church. And so we have some opportunities in front of us to seek the Lord this week in this and many other ways. First, of course, is our week of prayer and fasting, where we're going to set aside time and set aside possibly food or other things in order to intentionally seek God's heart in prayer and through God's words. So you can discern what the Lord's calling you to do. We're not necessarily expecting everyone to fast 7 days. Some may be called to that and have the ability and experience to do that. But do what the Lord is calling you to do. Second is to use this prayer guide for things related to the church that you can intentionally pray for, that we want you to seek the Lord about. And so again, make sure you get one of these before the service is over if you didn't out there. But it has a bunch of things you can be praying for throughout the week as you go along. And then it's very important that we gather together when we're all doing this. This is not an individual enterprise. It's a corporate community one. And so you can come on Wednesday. If evenings really don't work for you, we'll also have the sanctuary open here on Thursday during the noon hour, 12 to 1. It won't be a service, but we'll have just the space open for you as well if a few people want to be here. But this Wednesday night, and we hope you'll come hungry, perhaps both literally and spiritually speaking. And then right now is our second Sunday soak.